It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Dr. Papa, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Mvu.
Amen.
Mvundis, can you hear me? Mvundis, can you hear me? All right, it seems as though the pastor, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm far away. I'm in Angola.
Okay, greet Pastor Kabasa. Greet Pastor Kabasa for me there. He's there also. We'll be talking to Pastor Kabasa in a short while. He's also there in Angola. I'm hoping you'll be able to hear us.
Yeah, I will try. We are out at the campsite here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
Mfunis. So we are doing chapter 44. Am I correct, Mfunis, that we are doing chapter 44 of the book of Genesis? Mfunis?
Yo.
We are doing chapter 44. Am I correct?
I can hear you. No, yeah, we are in 44.
Yes. Okay. All right, as usual, I'm reading it from the NIV. That's the version we have in the studio, and it reads as follows. Now Joseph gave these instructions to the steward of his house. Fill the men's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. Then put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver for his grain. And he did as Joseph said. As morning dawned, the men were sent on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, "Go after these men at once, and when you catch up with them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't this the cup my master drinks from and also uses for divination? This is a wicked thing you have done.' When caught up with them, he repeated these words to them. But they said to him, 'Why? Why does my Lord say such things? Far be it from your servants to do anything like that. We even brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver we found inside the mouths of our sacks. So why would we steal silver or gold from your master's house? If any of your servant is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of us will become my Lord's slaves.' 'Very well, then,' he said, 'let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame.' Each of them quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. Then the steward proceeded to search, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this, they tore their clothes. Then they all loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, 'What is this you have done? Don't you know that a man like me can find things by divination?' 'What can we say to my Lord?' Judah replied. 'What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves, we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup.' But Joseph said, 'Far be it from me to do such a thing. Only a man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you, go back to your father in peace.' Then Judah went up to him and said, 'Please, my Lord, let your servant speak a word to my Lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself.' My Lord asked his servants, 'Do you have a father or a brother?' And we answered, 'We have an aged father, and there is a young son born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of his mother's son left, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me so I can see him for myself.' And we said to my Lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die.' But you told your servants, I think I've lost my step there. Then you said to your servant, bring him down to me so I can see him for myself. And we said to my Lord, the boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die. But you told your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again. When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him what my Lord had said. Then our father said, go back and buy a little more food. But we said, we cannot go down. Only if our youngest brother is with us, we'll go. We cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. One of them went away from me. And I said, he has surely been torn to pieces. And I have not seen him since. If you take this one from me too, and harm comes to him, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in misery. So now, if the boy is not with us when I go back to your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please, let your servant remain here as my lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen. Your comments, Mfundisi.
Yeah, in a brief comment, I would like to extend the chapter to include verse 1 and 2 of chapter 45. And the technical reason for that is the division of chapters is a late development.
Of course.
So it doesn't really mean that it ended in chapter 34. But I'd like to end the story in verse 2, where it says, then Joseph could not refrain himself from all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me, he said. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And I would like us to end there, because then it brings that chapter 44 to a nice climax.
Okay.
That helping us to see why Joseph went into all this trouble of putting this man into the sack and trying to find a way of apprehending Benjamin and forcing them to come back and to leave Benjamin. It actually goes to one thing, and we have said this over and over again. Joseph is trying to see if his brethren, if his brothers have really, really been remorseful.
Right.
Remember, up until now, we, the two of us, still agree that these boys did not confess to their father.
Right.
All right? They didn't tell the father what happened to the young man.
Right,
and
right.
This comes out in the story, because the old man still believed that the boy was torn into pieces in verse 28, even though that story does not really gel in his mind.
Mm.
He still blames them. But that's the only story he has that has been given to him. All right?
Yes.
But we had these boys confess, not confessing, talking to each other, not to Joseph.
Yes.
But to Joseph, they said, the brother is no more.
Mm.
But when they were talking to each other, unaware that Joseph could hear,
yes,
that's when Joseph understood that they somehow are still hiding the truth.
Right.
You know, because they were talking, say, look at what we've done. Now, even when they were confronted here, they said, the Lord is punishing us. For what? What have you done? I mean, if the boy was eaten by
a beast
animals,
yes,
why should that be by a beast, why should the Lord be punishing you?
Right.
All right. Okay. So now Joseph still wasn't sure. He wasn't really sure that his brothers really were remorseful. And so what actually broke his heart is when he heard Judah saying, listen, you rather take me to prison. Let the young man go.
Right.
I cannot see my father again going through this.
Mm.
Take me instead. And that's the reason why I want to bring verse, chapter 45, the first two verses, that broke his heart.
Right.
It broke his heart.
Right.
It just says that, you know what? These guys are really sorry for what they did. Look at what the length they're willing to go to.
Right.
To actually make sure that Benjamin, these guys a few years ago would have said, no, well, we'll tell our father that Benjamin is there. What else can we do?
Right.
But no, Judah was willing, said, there's no way, I've made a vow to my father.
Right.
I'll remain here. But of course, back to our climax of the story, one of the climaxes of the story, Joseph stands there and he weeps loud that even the Egyptians heard him.
Right.
He was wailing.
Right.
He was crying. I think the whole story came together.
Yes.
One, what the brothers did, but two, the journey they've taken towards remorse and repentance, that also somehow made his heart to melt. If he had thought of revenge or whatever,
yeah,
that just dissipated,
yeah,
when he heard that Judah was even willing,
yeah,
to remain in prison, let his younger brother,
right,
younger
right,
brother be free.
Right, right, right. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Let's then talk about the plot itself, this conspiracy that Joseph is putting together here. I'm curious, was he trying to get his brother? I mean, this whole idea of put the silver cup in Benjamin's cup. What was he trying to do there? What was because all of this happens before the emotional breakdown that you are describing there. What was he doing there? Was he trying to have his brother stay with him? What was going on there?
Yes. Yeah, it looks like if we look read the whole story towards the end, he wanted to create a reason to keep his brother.
Right.
And then wanted to see how the brothers would react if the younger brother, remember, he was sold because they hated him.
Right.
So he's not even sure if they don't hate this one.
Right.
This Benjamin.
Right.
Because if they hate him, once he says, he's remaining with me, then they will say, listen, that's fine. Let him remain. We are going. And I think it would not have ended well with those brothers. I'm telling you.
Right, right.
Those brothers, I almost used another word, but those brothers, it would not have ended well. Joseph would have said, these guys are still bent on the very same thing they did to me.
Right.
And they're even willing to do to Benjamin.
Right.
And I promise you, it would not have ended well.
Yes,
but
yes.
But, of course, let's not go that way. Like we say in chapter 45, when he saw their attitude and their repentance, it broke his heart. I think that, so to answer your question, he wanted to really, really come to understand and whether these guys, how they view Benjamin.
Right.
Remember now, Benjamin is taking his place. Benjamin is now the closest to his father.
Right.
As Joseph was before, yeah.
Right, right. And then something that I found rather interesting, and I was hoping that you would comment on it, Mfundis. The Bible says, with this cup, with a cup of wine, Joseph was doing divination. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that, Mfundisi, because he repeats that when he addresses them. Yeah, go ahead, Mfundisi.
Yeah, remember, we don't want to make the story a true story, because right from the start, this is a plot.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And number one, number two, and the plot, in the plot, Joseph is an Egyptian.
Right.
All right. So Joseph is not going to be in the plot and be a follower of Yahweh in the plot.
Okay.
So that would give him away. So in the plot is an Egyptian. In the plot, that's what Egyptians do in the plot. But of course, he was aware. Right now, when he tells them that he's Joseph, the whole thing then crumbles down. He tells them all along that this was a plot.
Right.
God has brought me here. He tells them later on, God has brought me here ahead of you to take care of you. So there's no divination now. Now he's speaking clearly.
Right.
So that whole story there, we do not want to do exegesis on the plot, because the plot is in the Bible, but the plot is not biblical.
Okay.
We don't want to use the plot as a foundation of our beliefs.
So that cup
it's
was
in the Bible, but it's not biblical.
So that cup was just a cup. It was not really a cup for divination.
Of course, the cups in Egypt were used for divination.
Right.
So if he's in the plot, he's an Egyptian, obviously then the cup's significance will be linked to divination. All right. But like I said, this was temporal. It was not long before the whole thing, context now became very clear.
Right.
And they could understand every bit of what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're hearing...
Of course, we're not saying we should try this at home.
Yes, exactly. 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 So just on that issue of trying it at home, I just want us to apply it. The other day when we spoke, you used a phrase, it was a white lie. Ed, would that apply here as well? this whole situation of creating a ruse, is this a white lie? Are we giving colors to lies? Go ahead, Mfundisi.
Yeah. Actually, for Joseph, it would appear this for him was the best way of having a truth. Now, on hindsight, if he had just told the brothers, I'm Joseph.
Right.
From the word go, I'm Joseph, your brother.
Right.
It looked like things would have gone well, but I'm not sure. If you look at how the whole thing unravels with Joseph crying and weeping and getting to hear things you would not have heard, I'm not sure if seeing Joseph, because they were very afraid of Joseph.
Right.
I know they were afraid of Joseph. That even at the end of the story, they were still afraid. When the father died, they went to Joseph and says, when our father was alive, he commanded us that make sure that you don't do. You know, they were still afraid that he's going to do something.
Yes, rightfully so.
If now he had revealed himself before, they would have literally died. There was no way they were going to. There's no way.
Yeah.
So we, while not advocating and say this was the best strategy, but we can actually understand that it for Joseph, it actually helped him to get to the bottom, to the depth, and understand the whole development of how things worked out.
These things, Mfundisi, are not only things that we are seeing done by Joseph or by people in the Bible. We have seen people in families doing things like these, having these kinds of situations concocted and put together. And I'm curious, are people in today's world wrong for doing things like these, even though sometimes they never pan out as spiritually significant as we see with Joseph and his brothers? But people do put together some conspiracies and things, stories and all sorts of things in family disputes. Is this something that when we look at these things happening today, should we just relegate that to being unholy, you're a manipulative liar? Or can we say perhaps these are just means to a spiritual end, as we see here with Joseph? It just means to a spiritual end.
We have to have concrete examples, but I think I can safely say that
Pastor, dessa viatura, toda naquele lado, dessa viatura, tá mesmo.
Can you say that in English?
No,
just
no,
one second. Sorry.
Are you okay with this?
Hey. I'm okay. The police, I wanted to know what am I doing. And they're speaking in Portuguese. I can't even understand.
Okay.
I think this is where Joseph should come in with
us. Yes.
But I think when we tell these narratives, and they are connected to our worldview.
Right.
That's when now you can begin to say there's something different.
Mm.
If they are connected to our, you know, this is what we believe. This is what the tenets of our belief, they are part of our worldview. That's when the issue becomes a problem.
Right.
If I'm telling a story, inganekwane, intsomi, to draw a lesson to my child, Ujagalasha was speaking and he said this, that's not part of my worldview. It's me trying to draw a lesson.
Right.
And there we can have a difference. But when we begin to say those things as if we believe that those took place, it's a different story.
Right. We have then the situation of Judah stepping in. And I'm curious, Mfundisi, why we have Judah stepping in, yet Reuben is supposed to be the one stepping up. Why is Judah the one who is now putting his head on the proverbial block? Why are we seeing the eldest brother, who is Reuben, not stepping up? What's happening here? Because the eldest is Reuben, but then again, Judah steps up and says, hey, I'd rather you take me. What's going on here?
Yeah. Was it not him also, I may be mistaken him with Reuben, was it not him also who vowed to his father, said, listen, if anything happens to the lad, you might as well take my two boys, my children. I think for some reason Judah must have been very striked by what happened in the past. You see, other brothers don't say anything in the story. If you notice, he seems to be the one who's speaking on for everyone.
Right.
Even Simeon does not say anything.
Yes.
He remains there, but for some reason, he seems to have been the one who was more articulate, one who was even more bold.
Okay.
To step in. don't know. Of course, later on, Judah becomes a prominent figure in the history of Israel.
Right.
I don't want us to link it to that.
Okay.
But I'm just saying Judah becomes a very, I mean, the very fact that we have Jews, Amad Judah,
right,
emanating from Judah,
right,
who was not even the firstborn, as you put it.
Right.
So there's a link there, but maybe we don't want to really make it a serious one. There may be other things that are linked to that as well.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. Before we part ways, Mfundisi, I think our time is running up, and I don't want the police there to be overly suspicious of you in the car there. We are seeing now a Joseph who says, when he realizes he's about to break down now, he commands everyone to leave. And he remains there with his brothers, and he shows himself to his brothers, and he cries and he weeps, and everyone can hear him. But he had commanded them to leave. Why? What was that about? Why was he chasing people away if he was going to cry so audibly that even though they're outside, they still can hear him? So what was the point of him chasing them away?
Yeah, it looks like the whole point was for him now to come
clean to his brothers.
As we have been arguing, and reveal himself. But remember, up until now, even his attendants were of the view where they knew something was happening.
Right.
Because he kept saying, do this, do that, do that. But they didn't know. He never told them, disclosed to them that these are my brothers.
Right.
So if he was going to disclose that, it would be better if he does it outside of these guys, because he doesn't even know how the response is going to be.
Right.
So just to contain that whole environment, I think you say, you know what, let's rather be brothers here. And then, of course, he switched over to Hebrew, and he spoke Hebrew. Because remember now, there were no translators.
Right.
And it was the speaking of Hebrew that led them to connect with Joseph. And many other things, of course, that have happened. You know, once you have that disclosure, then you begin to add 2 + 2, the way we were seated when they were eating.
Right.
You know, at some point they could see that we are seated in our own age, you know, the firstborn, the secondborn.
Right.
So why is that? I mean, even the seating arrangement,
all those
details would add to what Joseph was saying, because with 15 or so years and Joseph now, wearing whatever God has worn in Egypt, it would have been difficult for them to, of course, I'm sure he must have changed also the way he speaks so that they don't even identify. But they were not even, it would be difficult for them even to be suspicious, because in their minds, Joseph must have died, you know, he's no longer alive.
So right.
And even if they thought he wasn't, there was no way he could be the second in command. I mean, there's so much in the story of Joseph and where he was that would make them not to believe that he's Joseph.
Yeah, indeed. All right. We're going to leave it right there, Mfundisi. Thank you ever so much for taking out time, even in your circumstances, coming to talk to us and make plain these things. We really appreciate your time and your ministry, Mfundisi. May God bless you and have a wonderful day further. And go
thank you. Thank you. And to the listeners, I'm sorry to hear the hiccups, but that's...
No, not a problem at all.
We're not in a studio.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay. Thanks. God bless.
Now, that's how we end our conversation with Pastor Papu, who has been helping us understand what's happening in chapter 44. We did chapter 43 and chapter 42 with the good pastor helping us understand. And we are analyzing these things and being frank and honest, quite really, about what's happening now in the scriptures as we read them. So if you're one of those people who loves this kind of conversation, we do this every week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 1:30 and up until 2:00. Where we chew on one chapter. We'll continue next week with chapter 45, 46, and 47 with a different pastor. And this was Pastor Joangimpi Papu, who's been helping us understand exactly what's happening, trying to chew on that.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.